Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verses 38 through 47. The story of David and Goliath, a story that I'm sure many of you are familiar with. We'll be reading again from 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verses 38 through 47. Find this on your bulletin here in the sanctuary, or if you're at home, I invite you to follow along in your own Bible, or here on the screen behind me. Then Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet and a coat of mail. David put it on, strapped the sword over it, and took a step or two to see what it was like, for he had never worn such things before. "I can't go in these," he protested to Saul. "I'm not used to them." So David took them off again, and he picked up five stones from a stream and put them into a shepherd's bag. Then, armed only with his shepherd's staff and a sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. Goliath walked out toward David with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at this ruddy-faced boy. "Am I a dog," he roared at David, "that you come at me with a stick?" And he cursed David by the names of his gods. "Come over here, and I'll give you your flesh to the birds and wild animals," Goliath yelled. David replied to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head, and then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us." Last week we read of how David was anointed by King Samuel as Saul had been rejected by God because of Saul's disobedience. But here's the interesting thing. David is anointed in chapter 16 of 1 Samuel, but it won't be until the beginning of the book of 2 Samuel that David will actually become king of Israel. He's anointed in chapter 16, but it won't be until 2 Samuel that he actually becomes king. That's 15 chapters in which God will continue to shape and prepare David for this calling that he's placed on his life, the calling of being king of Israel. And so after David is anointed by Samuel, he is invited into Saul's court to play the harp. For Saul is a troubled man. God has rejected him, and his soul is uneasy. He's a man of increasing trouble and discontent. And it's at this time that David is serving in Saul's court that the Philistines gather their armies and meet Saul and his troops at the Valley of Elah. And the armies encamp themselves on opposite sides of the valleys, and they see one another across this trench of death if they are to meet on the battlefield. And it's at this time, and here at this place, that we are introduced to Goliath. Now, I want to paint a picture of this man for you. Goliath, he is everything that David is not. He is much, obviously, bigger than David. We are told in the Hebrew that he is 6 cubits and 1 span of length tall. Now, if we are to translate that, which our translation has done, that's around 9 feet tall. He's a big guy. And Goliath is also a seasoned warrior. He's been doing this ever since the time he could pick up a sword and spear. He is a professional killer. This is what he does. And he is respected by his comrades for his intensity, his violence of action, defiant and confident. And he lives for the moment, and he relishes the opportunity to demonstrate to the world his skill and his strength. In other words, if you're going to fight a battle, Goliath is the person that you want fighting on your side. So every morning, Goliath goes before the army of Israelites, and he mocks them. And he mocks the God of Israel as well. He lives up to his reputation as this great warrior. And for every Israelite who is watching, they see their impending death approaching. They're absolutely terrified. And David, this young boy, bringing food and supplies to his brothers and his brothers' comrades, sees this all take place, and he cannot believe his eyes. He knows that he has to do something. You see, David is everything that Goliath is not. He's young and small. He's ruddy-faced, as we're told in our scripture this morning. He has no experience on the battlefield, or maybe just a little bit with lions and bears, but he's likely never taken a person's life. He has far more skill with a harp than he does with a shield or a spear or a sword. He carries with him a gentle spirit, a humility that, if you were mistaken, might be considered timidity. In other words, David is the last person that you want to fight your battle. Why? Because there is so much at stake. You know, as modern readers, I don't think we fully appreciate the nature of ancient battles, of ancient warfares. This isn't about lines on a map, right? This isn't about political influence over a region or the economic situation of one of your allies. That's not what they're fighting for. This is about life or death, period. If you lose this battle, you and likely your wives and your children will be killed, maybe enslaved if they're lucky or unlucky, just depending on the way you look at it. At the beginning of chapter 17, Goliath has made this abundantly clear as he is mocking the Israelites and their God. This is what he says: choose one man to come down here and fight me. And if he kills me, well, then we'll be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. If Goliath and the Philistines are victorious, Israel is going to perish. Life and death, freedom, slavery, these are the only two options. And when you look at Israel's history throughout the Old Testament, these have always been the only two options. From Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, to Moses and the wilderness, the people of Israel have always had two options, life or death. God calls Israel to be obedient. And what they find is that life is a gift from God. If they are obedient, then they receive a life that leads to flourishing and justice, to goodness, and to what Scripture calls covenant living. The gift of life that they receive from God is a reflection of God's faithfulness to them. This is what God wants to give the people of Israel: life itself. Death, on the other hand, is always a consequence of the Israelites relying on themselves. Self-reliance always leads to death
for the people of Israel. Israel desires to secure its own freedom,
to forge
its own path.
And this path is constantly leading to destruction. It's constantly leading to death. This struggle between life and death, between trusting in God's faithfulness or trusting in self-reliance, this same battle that the Israelites fight is the same battle that you and I are fighting today.
Make no mistake, friends, each one of us stands on the ledge of a valley.
And as we look across on the other side, a Goliath stands there taunting us, ridiculing each of us for trusting in God. And friends, like with David, the stakes couldn't be higher. It's a battle between life and death. If death is victorious, it is the death of the person that God has created each and every single one of us to be. You see, God has rooted your life in the truth that you are a person that has been created by God to be called His child. God has rooted your life in the truth that He has claimed you on the cross in Jesus Christ. It's very, very simple. You are loved by God. This is the truth that God speaks to you. This is the life that He gives you. And so when Jesus says from the cross, "It is finished," He's talking about us. He's saying to every single one of us that the battle is over. God has won you for Himself. The battle between you and God is over. It's finished. God wins. And He has invited you to the celebration. And out of His unending patience and deep love, God has prepared a life for you that fills all the cracks and crevices that exist in our hearts. And He fills those crevices, He fills those cracks with joy and with hope and with a desire to serve and to love others. He fills us with the life of Jesus Christ as it's given to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's not easy. This life that God offers us, it's hard. We have to give up things. We have to be willing to place others in front of ourselves. We have to recognize in the depth of our hurt and our pain that God is active, and that's not an easy thing to do. But it is fulfilling. It's a life that fulfills your deepest longings, the God-shaped hole that only He can fill. And friends, what we learn in David's story is that death wants to rob you in all of its forms of this life that God offers to you. Death in our lives can look like so many different things. Maybe it's a giant staring at us from across the battlefield, yelling at us and mocking our God. But Scripture is clear that whatever it looks like, it always is in opposition to God's will for us. For you, death might be addiction. For you, death might be adultery or selfishness, pride, greed, racism, and hate. The belief that you are unloved and are unworthy of love. The idea that everything is your responsibility and you will fail fix it every single time. You see, in its purest form, death is the belief that we are in fact alone. And this belief always leads to hopelessness and to doubt and to fear. And in the face and its bid for our lives, we have no other choice but to go to battle with it. But how we fight this battle will determine whether we are victorious or not. In our study of David this summer, we have been taking a look at what does it mean to be a person after God's own heart. And here, facing Goliath, David gives us a clear example of what that actually looks like. We see this in verses 38 and 39 of our passage. It says, "Then Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet, and a coat of mail. And David put it on, strapped the sword over it, and took a step or two to see what it was like, for he had never worn such things before." "I can't go in these," protested David to Saul. "I'm not used to them." And so David took them off again. David looks across the battlefield and he sees Goliath. He sees this soldier and he's armed with a spear and a sword and a helmet and armor, and he has a man who goes before him carrying his shield. And he sees all the instruments of death that have made Goliath victorious in battle. And Saul, the one who is having a hard time trusting God, Saul, the one who has been rejected by God because of his disobedience, he sees the same thing. And he decides that David must fight this battle with these same instruments. He gives him his armor, his sword, and his spear. You see, for Saul, he's going to fight fire with fire. You see, for Saul, from his perspective, you fight death with more death. Now, I want you to consider your own life this morning for a moment. And I want to ask you this question. Are you also fighting death with more death? In other words, do you go to battle with the brokenness in your life by relying on more brokenness? I'll give you an example from my own life. When I'm feeling overwhelmed, when I'm feeling like the walls are crashing in on me like some kind of sick Indiana Jones trap, like things are just not going my way and I'm going to be overcome, I'm not going to make it, oftentimes I don't rely on God. Oftentimes, I don't rely on the people God has placed in my life. I clam up. And I decide that I'm going to do this on my own strength. I'm tough enough, right? I played football. I'm a man. I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to be extra spiritual. I can dwell from that bank, right? I make all of these decisions thinking that if I can simply just be spiritually tough enough, then I will be victorious. It never pans out that way. I always find myself like the Israelites who see Goliath mocking them, absolutely terrified, running away, afraid of the death that is coming for me. Or maybe think about your own lives or people you know. You see someone who is struggling. You see that they are hurting. You see that they are in pain, and you suggest solutions to them. "Hey, if you just were to do this, you'd probably be okay. If you would just follow my plan for you to avoid this pain, avoid the suffering, avoid this death, you're going to be just fine." But when they don't respond according to my expectations of them, I write them off. You know, they had so much potential, but if they had just done this, well, maybe it would have worked out for them. But now, well, they're kind of a lost cause. We'll just have to see what happens. We all face death in our lives, and every single one of us will try to fight that death with death. And if we fight death with death, death can only be the outcome. If we are to be victorious over the sin and the brokenness, our lives, we have to put the old ways of doing things aside. We cannot pick up the sword and the spear and the shield and expect anything to change. Like David, we must say, "I can't go in these." We have to take them off. And we have to choose to fight death with life. We see David do exactly that in verses 45 through 47 of our passage. David replied to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today, the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." That's some confidence, but not in David, in someone else. "And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear, not with the old ways, not with death. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us." This is the Lord's battle. If we are to find victory over death in our lives, friends, it will begin with recognizing that this battle belongs to God. You see, in the face of death, we, by ourselves, we are completely powerless. In the face of your broken marriage, in the face of the great pain and loss that you experience at the loss of someone you love, in the face of your addiction, we are completely powerless. Our selfishness, our pride, our brokenness, they are too great. Each holds too much sway in our lives. And so, like David, we must acknowledge that victory can only come through total surrender to God, in completely giving ourselves and relying on God's strength. And this is, of course, entirely counterintuitive in the culture that we live in. How can, we ask ourselves, surrender be victory? Well, the answer that Scripture gives is to point us to the cross of Jesus Christ. In surrendering himself to death, Christ gains our victory over it. Or, as Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians, "For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength." God's weakness, his death on the cross, is stronger than anything we could muster in our own lives. If you want to experience victory of life in your life, you have to surrender it. You have to give it to God. You have to be willing to say that my strength is not sufficient, but his is far, far, far more than enough. And what is gained when we acknowledge that the battle belongs to God, that our helplessness, that we are helpless unless we rely entirely upon his strength and grace? What do we gain? We gain life itself. What we gain is victory over death. We are embraced by the truth that God has called us his own. Death has lost its sting. That God has rescued us not by sword or spear, but by his loving mercy. We come to know that this is indeed the Lord's battle. And by his hand, we have been saved. And so, friends, in closing this morning, I want to remind every single one of us that, like David, each of us stands on a field of battle. This is the battle for our hearts. This is the battle for our lives. This is the battle that we see when we turn on the nightly news, or we look on our social media, or we receive a letter from a friend who is broken and struggling, who feels like death is overcoming their lives, or we ourselves feel like that. That is the battle that we are fighting. And the stakes, they're so high. The stakes are life or death. And when we go to this battle, we can go in two ways. We can either go with the old ways, carrying our shield of pride, our sword of strength, our spear of self-reliance and self-confidence, or we go to this battle surrendering. Surrendering to a God who loves us, who is our strength, who is enough, and calls us to victory in his Son, Jesus Christ. Let's go the second way. Let us pray. God, in your grace and in your mercy, you fight for us. Lord, there is no Goliath. There is no giant so great in our hearts, so great in our lives, that it will win ultimate victory over us. So we have to stop trying to fight it. We have to give ourselves over to your grace and your love and your mercy. We have to obey. We have to follow you. We have to rely completely on the one who has demonstrated to himself to be for us on the cross. So help us give ourselves to you. Help us to trust in your loving goodness and in the life that you offer to each of us. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.